You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue behind the waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over.
These Welcome strike like to Axe to Grind, the Hardcore Podcast. I'm Joe Rogan.
I'm Bob.
I'm Tom.
There's so much opportunity for you guys. You could have gone with any massive Segura, broadcaster.
It was not.
Yeah.
No, you could have gone. Somebody could have said, well, I guess.
Playing it straight was so much funnier.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So here's the deal, everybody. You know what it is. This is the Hardcore Podcast. We talk about hardcore mostly. Sometimes we go in other directions. That includes your finances, the larger world, briefly politics, and then we all regret it.
Teen movies.
Teen movies has been. Yo, people love our teen movie talk.
And it's true.
Every time we talk about it, it's the one thing we talk about where I go, damn, we should be talking about hardcore music right now. And that
people and are like, no, keep going, fam.
Yeah, people just love teen movies. Yeah. Everybody, it's a big pivot. Like, no more hardcore.
Talking about wrestling. Oh, I'm sorry.
And joining us. Yeah, no, please. And joining us today.
I'm Brian.
Thank you for coming back, Brian. Appreciate it. He just had to sit through a half hour of preamble of us just going off on eight different things. So we've got some special ideas planned for him today. Before we get there, why don't we start, Patrick, why don't you kick us off with one of our fine sponsors?
Sure. I'm going to talk on closed casket activities today. And I'm going to talk about this new God's Hate record. I know the single. What's the actual album name?
Do you not have the website available?
What's no, going on no, here? No. I have too many Jesus. Tabs open. It's so giving
except,
me anxiety.
Except for the one that you need for your job. You fucking asshole.
What's the actual
you
album?
You mean God's Hate, self-titled?
Thank you. So the single, which everybody's losing their mind about, it's called Be Harder. And here's the thing. I should have gotten it wrong. That would have been a better bit. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's clap. Hold on. Clap me
hold
in.
Hold on. Clap. And now re-record.
It's called Get Harder. So, by the way, I watched Get Hard the other day with
funny movie.
Kevin Hart. And it's underrated. It's just not what anybody wanted as we were. It was from years ago now, but it was when we were transitioning it into wokeness and everybody's kind of like, yeah, the central theme of this movie is
it's fucking terrible.
Very yeah. upsetting. Yeah, so, but it had some funny parts. Yeah. Will Ferrell. Anyway, Terror, we've given Terror a lot of credit for really being on point with the slogan, you know, the summer slogan, the memeable slogan. And this is an underrated aspect of hardcore. Everybody gets intuitively that a cool chorus helps sell a song, makes people like it. Everybody understands that a dope coda can also kick things up for you. And people get that kind of like, you know, even an intro with just an iconic poof thing at the beginning. You just poof, you know, you're sold. This is dope sloganeering. Be harder. This is like when Drake puts out something that's supposed to be put into a million captions. That's that God's Hate and Drake are on the same wavelength. This is going to see itself in a lot of captions. The album art is ludicrous in a good way. And God's Hate has been is it fair to call them like a sleeper hit for the last
put a record
few years?
Out of five.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
I know, but I feel like they've been a band that if you get it, you get it, but not everybody's been in the club.
Yeah.
And now fair. I feel like the club.
Yeah,
the
I mean, I think they don't play. They didn't play a ton because I'll call him by his wrestling name. Brody got busy with wrestling stuff. I think I forget what show they played. They played a show in Game Changer. I don't know if it was. Did they play a No Warning show, Bob? I forget which one. One of those were all like a blur. It might have been one of the back to school jams or whatever it was. And like seeing them live, like makes all the difference in the world. I was like, holy shit! Like I didn't really know much about them that much. I had like only heard bits and pieces of their songs and stuff. Like seeing them live is super impressive. So I think, you know, that's kind of why it's been a little quiet, because like it's a fucking spectacle. The band's fucking hard as shit. People lose their goddamn minds. You don't get that just from a record.
The Amazing. Van Nuys promo.
Hilarious.
Great.
Best part was Carlos from No Echo was driving to CVS and saw them doing it.
Oh,
he was like,
good.
Yeah, I was going to the No Echo, you know, the CVS on, you know, Ventura and whatever the fuck the cross streets were. And he was like, I saw this being taken. I'm like, that's fucking incredible.
Topanga?
That's great local flavor right there. So that's, you can get that at closedcasketactivities.com. I'm excited for y'all. I haven't even checked out the shirts on this album. Are the shirts
there's
good?
There's some good ones. Yeah, there's some good ones. So everybody go check that out for sure. Yo, Tom, why don't you lead us in? But I think we're going to let our guest pick this next
one.
Sure.
We're going to go to another one of our sponsors, one of our pals, Deathwish Inc. Mm. And we're going to ask Brian. Oh, yeah. Sorry. We need to get that soundboard. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I gave you that.
I like that. Flipped it. So Brian's going to go into the web store and give us a choice.
All right. I went new to old on the shirts. First one is a winner. You got the I Hate You Knuckles shirt. Best band. Changed my life. Sickest shirt.
Yo.
Hard stuff.
I Hate You. Really like them. Always liked them. Not a band you could get a shirt for that was good. I believe I had an I Hate You shirt that was very similar to this design, but army green, and you could barely see it. I think it said I Hate You and had the knuckles in black, like one color.
Yeah, I had. I think it was this design on a gray shirt, and I wore it to high school.
That's oh.
Yeah, people don't like that. But
no. You were the Marilyn Manson kid. You were dark and disturbed.
Yeah, but I killed for Straight Edge. So you know.
That's true.
So everybody go to deathwishinc.com. Check out that I Hate You shirt. Check out a lot of what else they got.
Oh shit, they got a Stalk Weather shirt
selection right now, and
the Sheltering Night.
I'm saying
a lot of
also.
Shirt.
I think people were really having fun when we did the someone in blank United States purchased A. Yo, go on there. See a few results. Tell us what your funniest one was. Right now, somebody just bought a downstairs scrotum pocket tan t-shirt.
All
right. Come again?
Say it again.
Downstairs scrotum pocket tan t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Deathwishinc.com. Big shout out to our other two sponsors, Run for Cover Records and To Live a Lie. Go support all the sponsors. We love them. We love you guys. Most importantly today, we love Brian. And Brian, we're here to – yeah, and Scrotum Pockets. We're here to play a little game with you. I believe Patrick has given you a little bit of the behind the scenes. What do you know?
Not much. Basically Let's nothing, really.
Okay. Apparently, I haven't done a good job.
So Brian, today,
you are the king
Thanos.
Of the world today.
Oh, perfect.
If Bri ruled the world, but unfortunately, the world is only hardcore. So we're going to, as Tom said, we're granting you the Infinity Gauntlet. You're being given unlimited power.
But just within hardcore.
Just within hardcore.
You can't cure COVID, but you can put more grindcore influence.
You can't buy a sandwich, but boy, let me tell you about your record collection. So we're going to talk about this. We have each come up with some questions, and if you guys are light, I got extras. Who wants to start?
Kick it off. All right, so Thanos. Can we come up with a better name for Brian for that? Banos.
Banos.
Not great. That's why I'm the quick one on the show. I get it. if you had the Infinity Gauntlet.
You got to give credit.
Bri ruled the world is fucking fantastic. And if we don't open this thing with the Nas song with Lauryn Hill, if I ruled the world.
Yeah, right.
You know, you got the gauntlet, you got all the stones. What band, what hardcore band would you snap out of existence after their first release?
Ooh.
That too hot?
No, because it could be at any era. You're giving them their first record or whatever.
And not and then Rambo'd back. Look at me. I like comics.
You're killing it.
I thought you were referring to the.
Well, I mean, I think it's not just this year, but that's all. It's not a coincidence.
It was a good double entendre
that Maxine Rambo, whatever her name is, Marie Rambo,
Monica,
is back, and so is Rambo with the, you know, they both ride tanks. One's made of cardboard, and one is made of like vibranium. But whatever.
Sorry. All right, so Bri, you are snapping. You're destroying a band's after. They get one record, one demo, whatever it is. They get one thing out, and then you're like, no more. Who is it? And why?
There's so many bands that I just want to break up.
No, but that's this not one, the, that's not the game, though.
I know,
that's
the game. Tough.
Are we going to make a meme of this and be like, are they gone? What did it cost? And then it's just going to be Brian's face and just going to say, everything.
Nothing.
But it costs nothing.
What do you got? Who has one good
or
demo?
7-inch or LP or anything?
One good 7-inch.
Or one good record,
any release.
You know what I mean?
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go with... this might be controversial.
Hit us.
Just for me.
Sure.
If Go It Alone broke up after the first LP, I don't think I would be... too broken up.
Mm.
No, I'm with you. I don't, and it's no diss to the second LP. I think their first LP is their hit.
Wait, what's the, they got a green one, don't they? Am I crazy?
No, they have, both their LPs are primarily black and white. The second LP has kind of, it has old Greek, like, what are they?
The, right. The, okay. That, but that's, the, that, that's the one that is, that's the hit though, isn't it? Not the, not to you.
No,
guys,
the first one is the hit. Really? The second one is really liked, but the first LP is the hit. There's only Blood Between Us or something like that. Bad Blood. They also have the Vancouver Gold 7-inch before that, which people are pretty partial to, especially the locals up there. But I'm with you. I think that Go It Alone first LP is their mile marker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patrick, you want to go?
Okay. If you could erase from your personal history, your involvement in Youth Crew, how many years would you give yourself before you snapped yourself out of that delusion? Was it worth it at all?
Not worth it.
No. Okay. So no. Hold on. So this is the setup, everybody.
That was a weird question that I don't think was a question totally, Patrick.
No, I just wanted to lead him someplace. Cause the other day we walked up a mountain and he's like, I wish that I never found Youth Crew. And it was
it was
really crazy. Cause this used to be Mr. Fucking Youth Crew and he's gone through something and I wanted to bring it to light so we could ask
it's like the House of M.
I didn't
No more Youth Crew.
Quietly,
thank you.
Good I watch job. YouTube. Good job, Tom. that's really good. To me, what's playing is you and Brian walking up the mountain, gently playing in the background is Madonna's This Used to Be My Playground.
Yeah.
This used to be my childhood dreams.
Yeah.
So please, Brian, what went down?
I just eventually realized that wearing shirts with like 300 sweaty dudes just piled on top of each other wasn't as cool as I thought it was when I was in high school.
But it took you 10 years.
Yeah, it took me a while. But but you know, you kind of just like,
hold on. I'm going to tell you what really snapped him in half. The other day he played on a record that he saw was going for real money, not real money. It was going for like money. $30 on Discogs. Sure. And he was thinking, that's not even good.
It's bad. It's a bad record.
What record?
I didn't play on it, to be clear. I didn't play on it. No. I was just, yeah, they recorded it right before I joined.
Gotcha.
And then I toured. I did the U.S. tour on it.
Okay. Can we reveal?
Sure. It was the Outlast record.
South Jersey. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So this snapped him. You could see that it ruined something inside because he said, who would collect that? And then it all came together that maybe Youth Crew is a lie.
Yeah. Definitely just like a group of dudes pretending that something is like really good. It's not.
It's not good.
It's not. Mindset is good though. That band is good.
Okay.
I think now you're
carving out bands that you think are good.
He's not wrong. No. Like, well, he's not wrong.
Yeah, there's a handful of like Youth Crew bands that are good. But that's overall, right. The scene should no. It's
well,
bad.
The hard part is, Bri, I've been there with you. I've had that moment with Youth Crew. But I also, shortly thereafter, also had the revelation, no pun, that it's all hardcore, unfortunately. Every subgenre. Yeah,
for sure. Right. I mean, I'm out. Like,
because I will tell you,
I don't think I would say that I'm in hardcore anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, Bri,
I'm pretty far removed.
He's
at this
not
point.
Even a good guest. My God.
Oh, Jesus. We got to figure that out. Okay, so I was going to say, I watched two eBay auctions last week where a Rancor 7-inch on red went for $50. Oh. And a Gut Instinct 7-inch went for $70. So, and yo, I actually like both of those bands. I'm not going to front. Those are bands I like. But I also acknowledge that they're not like good. They're just...
At the markup of
fun. Like,
yeah. Gut Instinct has a song called Rat Bastard. Like, it's awesome. Rancor has a song about Tonka trucks in Straight Edge. And
stop.
It just feels
Bob, I
just pulled Brian back in.
No, you pushed me out of hardcore entirely. Goodbye.
Who was the body bag band? That wasn't Rancor, end. Was it? Ran on the Parade.
Rain of the Parade. No, they suck. They are the worst. They were Youth Crew They were like self-hating. It's such a bummer. It was a weird thing. And it wasn't all the dudes in the band. It was just Ronnie Little. Like, ugh. All right. Before I barf on the mic, let's move. Brian, though you've just revealed that you are out of hardcore, you have snapped your fingers and three hardcore records are delivered to your home. Any three that you want, because I know you're a bit of a collector. What three hardcore records are there?
All right, so the Youth Brigade Possible EP.
Ooh, good one.
And the two Minor Threat 7-inches.
Yo, those are like right at the top of mine. I've owned a lot of cool like old records in this net. I've never owned either Minor Threat 7-inch, and I'm kind of like. I'm a little regretful because I think baseline to get in on those now, I think if you're lucky, you get a Minor Threat 7-inch for $800.
Oh, yeah. If you're real lucky.
Lucky. Like, I think the real like baseline is like $1,200. So,
yeah.
Where it's like, yo, for years and years, it was like, I'm not going to pay $300 for that, you know? So yeah. Now, what Youth Brigade Possible is a random pick. I love that record, too. Do you prefer Youth Brigade DC to Youth Brigade California?
Oh, 100%. I think that Youth Brigade DC has no bad songs. I think they're like,
correct.
I think they're a very underrated band, and I wish more people liked them or talked about them.
I think they're better than all the other bands on. From the 4 7-inches, other than Minor Threat. They're better than Government Issue. They're better than SOI.
Yeah, for sure. That's easy.
I know. And I mean, it's like, and I also like, if you compare it to some other, I like the Negative Approach 7-inch more.
I
think, ooh, wow. I like.
Bowl too. Yeah.
I think I like it more than all the New York 7-inches except Urban Waste. Like Antidote, The Mob, fucking Abused. Like, I think the Youth Brigade DC 7-inch is so fucking good.
Youth Brigade, not the greatest name. Yeah, please. Why were there two? Like, almost simultaneously.
Yo. Because it's got... You're not wrong that it's not the best name, but you know, all the youth references at that time, it's like, yo, it's a youth brigade. It's like a youth team. You know what I mean? Like Minor Threat. Like, I think it was they were all trying to.
Like, it's not even like, yo, why would you pick Youth Brigade as your name? But it's like California and DC. There's like 9 punk people in America at this point. You couldn't have thought of a different name? Pat, get the Stearns on the phone.
Well, and I have to. I have to assume that there wasn't awareness. I think it was like a pure like, hey, we just weren't aware, you know, because I don't know which one precedes the other. I feel like DC might actually know
like who was the first.
Is DC prior?
I think it's
concurrent because I believe the Youth Brigade LP came out in California in 81, which
yeah, they were started in 80
time, essentially as the
I didn't realize all of them were brothers. I knew there were two brothers. They were all 3 brothers. I didn't know that.
See, why didn't they go for the easy like pizza stop shop style like 3 brothers, the band?
Yeah.
Just go all in. All right, Tom, you're all right. Questions for Bri.
If you could time travel and do like an Almost Famous kind of deal on any tour, what would it be? Like you'd be able to be like embedded on the tour and just be like reporter for your fanzine. What would you choose?
I would follow probably SSD on that trip to California. Not so much a tour, but a pretty well-documented trip from Boston to California to play in LA. Seems like it was a wild time.
An odyssey.
Yeah.
Yo, this is the point where we should shout out Nancy Buril's book that just came out. People should check that out. Do you think you would vibe with the Boston crew?
No, not at all.
But, I don't think I would either. I'm like, I don't know about these dudes.
But also maybe, like, I feel like there are maybe a couple of them that I'd be like, oh yeah, we have some things in common. The bands that came from that original scene, I actually think are pretty interesting. Like the all the alternative bands that kind of came from that, right up my alley. So possibly. Okay.
I'm going to say that the language was probably a little fraught.
Curt?
Yeah, no, it was a little burly, that language. Mm-hmm. That was if I had to guess, knowing my Boston people.
Yo, do you guys know the story behind the SSD? Are you familiar with the SSD How We Rock album cover?
Yeah.
If not.
Of course.
Okay.
No, hold on.
Patrick, pull it up. So I'll describe it as Patrick pulls it up. It is SSD, kind of similar to their font, but blockier and looks like gold bars.
That part I know, but I can't.
On a highway driving into the horizon, so it almost is like a T, but it's a highway driving through gold or like desert scene with, you know, nothing but the open road in front of them.
It's bad. It's real bad.
So if you've pulled this up yet, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. I don't know why this didn't immediately spring to my mind. It's perfectly iconic. It's a beautiful piece of work.
Yes, so awful. So this, I believe, was inspired by the drive home from the tour that Brian's referencing, which is Al just decided he was just going to drive the whole thing, and I think they stopped like twice or something like that. You know what I mean? That was his vision. He was like, this is who we are. This is how we rock. Just cruising down the highway, you know? And that was, he manifested his reality with this album cover.
If I could, Mr. DNA on Discogs says, when How We Rock went metal, people abandoned in droves. But this record has withstood the test of time. It's a glorious, chaotic wall of noise about to collapse under its own formidable weight. The wild leads are just icing on the cake.
No.
Five out of five.
No.
Three people found it helpful.
yo, it's not. it's not very listenable. Like, just yeah,
those
up.
Bands all took a turn.
I'd rather listen to the listen to the
what about the Antidote rock record?
Woof. Nope. It's bad. It's bad. All right. PK, you're up.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, all right. This is one of those monkey paws. It's not quite Thanos' glove, right?
It's
you
a gauntlet.
Can add any.
Thank you.
It's a gauntlet. Thank you. That's what Thanos has.
Infinity gauntlet. It's not a glove.
Thanos's mitten. Okay, it's not that. This is a monkey's paw. So, you can inject any influence that you like to the hardcore populi, right? And I mean, like all the bands going right now. Let's just say all
very
the bands.
Very good question. This is what I had. Go ahead.
But you have to take one out entirely. So you can add an influence. For example, let's say that you think, right now all the bands kind of have a lot of groove to them. That's cool. But I'm not feeling any of their breakdowns. Maybe if they had a little bit more power violence in them, we could get hard at the end of every song. That'd be great. However, you have to extract something. This is a trade-off. Who is it? Thomas Sowell says, no solutions, just compromises. This is a compromise. Let's figure it out.
I have to take out something I enjoy in hardcore?
Yeah, it's a monkey's paw.
Yeah, that's not...
You've seen movies.
I've seen a handful. I think... Yeah, okay. I think I got it. I'm going to inject more... noise.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Terrible choice.
Just straight up noise.
Oh, it's a terrible choice. Is this a bit you're doing?
No, not at all. And take out any sort of like heavy groove.
Oh.
Mm.
So like there are records that, you know, there are parts of records that I can just like fucking vibe to. I don't want that.
No? You're willing to give it up at least?
Yeah, I'm willing to give that up for more like...
So you'd prefer everything...
Noise.
Drives... Okay, so you just made an annoying song, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
You made everything in hardcore annoying.
No. Because I think that right now, part of the reason that I'm kind of not fully sold
mm-hmm.
is that everything just kind of sounds too polished.
Mm.
I just want it loose and noisy.
All right.
Fun.
Sure.
You just want to jam a microphone into a Marshall head.
I don't want it to be for everyone. I want it to be for some.
All right. You ready? Brian, I want you to pick. You have to either pick a slower band and make them write a fast record or a fast band and make them write a slow record. What band would you pick?
Slow band, write fast song.
And what band would it be? What's slower? And like slower, you know, I'm not talking, they don't have to be fucking Crowbar or something, but.
Any slow band. Slow bands suck. Just
youth crew showing. Your youth crew showing.
Do you want to see Self-Defense Family write a fast song?
Yeah, their faster songs were better.
False.
As end of a year, those songs, ooh,
big false.
Whoa.
I will say there's for our listeners that have an interest in Lungfish, I've talked about this Lungfish Live in Poland record. It's not a record, it's just a board recording.
This is your first mention of it on this podcast, so.
Okay. So I used to, back in the old Soulseek days, I used to just collect as many live recordings of Lungfish as I could find. And I've started doing that again. And there is, I'm going to see, hold on.
The good things you can do when you get off social media.
Yeah, exactly. I'm out here. Everybody, keep your fingers crossed. I'm still $200 in the hole on my Ethereum, but we're finding our way out. So there is a... They do My Fool Heart, which is a great early song from them, and they play it easily double time.
Oh, that sounds good.
And it is so good.
See, every band should just play fast.
I mean, Now, I saw Lungfish twice, and they did play some songs considerably faster. But this song in particular, you get that you immediately understand that these dudes used to be in punk or hardcore acts. Like, immediately. It's just everybody go find it. It's a very good version of, like, a very early Lungfish great track.
Yo, Tom, I want your input here. We don't have to give our picks, but I think I might largely, and Pat too, I largely agree with Brian's answer, because I think a slow band writing a faster song almost always goes better than when fast bands write
slow songs. Yeah, I tend to agree. The first thing I thought of, I would like love to hear like Sleep write a fast song.
Oh, I mean, I bet they got chopped.
Making a slow song remotely interesting, pretty fucking tough.
No, I mean, you know, there's people like even mid-tempo or like the Cro-Mags. I wouldn't call them a fast band, but Age of Quarrel, for the most part, faster tempo. They slow it down on songs, and I like those songs, but yo, it takes a lot of work to make a slow song.
That's why Seekers of the Truth is not one of my favorite songs on that record.
That's true. It's true. Pat, where are you at?
Not every band can play fast. That's true, but so many bands make themselves look foolish playing slow. So yeah, I'm going to say fast too.
Okay.
Tom, it's in the Marvel universe, this question. Sorry for the whistle.
Interesting.
I'm
only Marvel like five movies, and I watch YouTube's breaking down. Like, did you know, as we've mentioned on this before. All right. So Brian, are you familiar with, Endgame? The movie? Yes.
The movie?
Okay. So, yes, you know, there's that part that, like, Scott Lang is in the truck for 5 years, but it feels like 5 minutes or 5 hours or whatever it was. If you had the capability to use that to your advantage and you were at a show that felt like 5 hours for everyone else, but you could make it turn into 5 minutes and only feel like 5 minutes for yourself, what show would that be? Or festival? Like, have you ever been at a show, you're like, God fucking damn it, I got to be here all day.
That's most of the festivals that I've been to. I got one. Oneana Punk Fest, whenever that happened.
That'll do it.
That shit was an actual nightmare. I think I was like... I don't know. I know they were writing my friend's checks for fucking $10 for years after that fest happened. But I can't remember if that one was supposed to be a benefit too, but I've been to some really awful fests. So any of those, but specifically.
I feel like that one is kind of like been lost to the sands of time, even though it's like sort of infamous. Good lineup.
I mean, I watched Marauder while eating nachos with my friends, so that was cool.
How come Marauder and nachos seem like a racist. Really natural pair? Yo, I just think sonically, it's like if I was going to pair a band with a food, Marauder and nachos right.
Nachos, like, with the cheese on top, because like Marauder, you might have to like escape quickly.
Oh no! There was like
a dipping.
There was like theater seats.
Oh,
so it was in like an auditorium type thing with just like a large flat space right in front of the right in front of the stage. So we were in the seats.
Because I think like bands like that, you might need something that's even more portable than a nacho.
What, slice like of pizza? Slurpee? Like what are we talking?
Because I mean, all right. For example, this is like the story.
It can't be greasy though. That's I don't want to deal with the grease strip down the back. You know what I mean,
right?
Okay. Oh,
have I ever told you a story? Yeah, so like, we go to some show in Long Island. I forget who it was. It might have been Have Heart, and Meltdown played. And in between bands, I went and what happened?
Oh, yeah, Ollie Edge.
Yes, this is the Ollie Edge. Yeah. So I'm sitting there, and in between bands, we go and get I get a couple hot chocolate because it was like fucking freezing out. So I'm like watching the band. Paulie Edge for his own band moshes into me, And I recoil and break the styrofoam Dunkin' Donuts cup filled with hot chocolate. And now I'm wearing it.
Oh, no.
Like, literally got two sips out of the deal. So now I'm all fine. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? I go into the bathroom. I'm like, I dry myself off. Someone's like, well, you have a t-shirt underneath that. Why don't you just wear that? Then I realized I was wearing my own band's shirt as an undershirt.
Fine.
Oh, I think it's a terrible look. So I just literally walked around with a giant hot chocolate stain on my gray Met shirt for the rest of the night.
Can I ask a question that is totally unrelated to that and unrelated to Oneonta Fest, though I'd like to get back to Oneonta Fest in just a moment. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at that SSD record.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we talk about Lou Giordano in the same way that we talk about, Don Fury or
Steve Evans,
who's my man? I've recorded with him.
Don Zientara.
Don Zientara.
Well, because Radio Beat just doesn't have the same flair as Inner Ear, bro. There are people who talk about the Radio Beat sound. I mean, there's way more of a sound that came out of Boston. Like, those X-Claim records all have a similar sound and feel. I think of the Gangrene stuff's recorded there too.
I mean, Bob, it's, if you looked at his, it's insane. It's way more stuff than I thought.
Oh yeah. Who's gonna do? Yeah.
You're talking about SSD, DYS, Jerry's Kids, Siege, Gangrene, Proletariat.
Mission of Burma.
Well, that's what's interesting is that very early he pivots to like a lot of stuff, but is then still going back and doing a ton of fucking Impact Unit. You know,
Sunny Day Real Estate.
It's I just don't hear people talk about Lou Giordano in that same way.
You're 1,000% correct. People should look at this dude's look at his work. Because you'll be amazed to see how he moved with the music and how trusted he was. And like, yo, he was able to carve out a sound. Like, when you see how different it is, I loved when Brian said that about the Boston scene, because the early Boston scenes, yo, it's like the burliest of burly hardcore for the hardcore. But very quickly, a lot of those dudes pivot. And yes, there's the SSDs and DYS who try to go fucking Aerosmith. But then there's the other bands who go and do this kind of underground alternative, like college rocky thing. Mm. And he's in that mix too. So it's tip the cap to Lou Giordano.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry for that. Just noticed his credits are way more extensive than I remember. I knew he did some of these like early X-Claim. Like I just didn't know that he
did. King Missile.
Missile. He did a lot of shit that like he did a Lemonheads record later.
Means that Pat does other stuff while he's not speaking or being spoken to.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein, Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50, and use code AXETOGRIND50 That's numeral 50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AxeToGrind50 at factormeals.com/AxeToGrind50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, "Man, I gotta hear that." Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.
Straight up, every time that we talk about a record that I can't place the album art in my head, I end up going down a fucking Discogs hole. Every single time that you guys are like, "You know that album art," and I'll be like, "Hold on." And I'll be like, "Whoa." And then half an hour later, I'm like checking out Lou Giordano and going,
"And be like, he worked on A Boy Named Goo? Damn." Yeah.
Yo, also had, exactly. Also seemingly had a pretty tight body in 1987.
All right. Cool for him.
I'm feeling it.
Look at his vascularity.
Oh, I see.
Clumsy.
Okay.
All right. Head records good. Do you have anything else to add on Oneonta Fest besides Marauder Nachos hot chocolate? Anything else? I went to Oneonta like a couple years ago to a wedding. Oneonta.
That's cool. Where all the potheads from high school went.
That's 100%.
It was a pretty miserable festival.
One day
overall.
It
was 2 days. The first day was like the more hardcore day, and the second day was more like pop punk, you know, something for everyone. I had friends that were like supposed to play the second day that I think ended up just not even showing up. But yeah, pretty terrible. Terribly run fest. That had a lot of potential if it were anywhere that wasn't.
All right, I have the. Is this cool if we go through some of the bands I played?
Give me 1 second. It's loading. Let's run down.
I mean, quite honestly, like if Oneonta, like the school, lost money, then like whatever. I just hate anybody, like, because I think that it was meant to be.
No, I'm pretty sure it was. SUNY paid for that. I'm pretty sure.
Hold on, 1 second. It's not loading.
Oh yeah, it was supposed to be a benefit festival, I think, for like Crohn's disease or something.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
All right. So we got, I mean, if you look at this lineup, I mean, if we're being honest, give me one moment. All right. So let's see how far down. Oh my God. There were a lot of bands. All right. We're going to go from the bottom. This is going to be quick. I'm going to read the fast ones fast. Orogeny, Aggressive Response, Helen Chambers, Colorful Kid, Dialysis. Well, maybe we'll keep going. Detriment. I know Detriment. Vices. After the Fall, Concrete, Trenchfoot, Cayetana, Johnny Booth. Who else we got here? Old Wounds, Ghost Ship, Corey Oswald, Fucking Invincible, Strength Approach from Italy. Man, they were here all the time. Timeshares, Banquets, King Nine, Agitator,
Pale Horse, Strength for a Reason, Rude Awakening, Jeff Rosenstock, Born Low, Sprainard, Coke Bust, The Banner, Reign Supreme, Laura Stevenson, Full of Hell, Brace War, Hostage Calm, Code Orange, Mutilation Rites, Fuck the Facts, Elder, Antidote, Harm's Way, Super Touch, Wisdom in Chains, Marauder, and Trip Face. That was the undercard. Here are the headliners. For the first night, it was Backtrack, Damnation AD, Fury of Five for Damnation.
Which is why I went.
So, yeah. So, Backtrack, yeah. Damnation, Fury of Five, Black SS, Sheer Terror. The Sunday was Expire, I Am the Avalanche, Crime in Stereo, Citizen, and the Menzingers. That's a big show.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was like... It was one of those like multiple location fests where there was like three or four venues all within walking distance that people could go to, which is only good if you have that many bands and
yeah, that's true.
And the lineup is diverse enough that like certain people will just go to one venue and hang out all day and for like sure. feel fine at the end of the day being like, yeah, I saw everything I needed to see. This wasn't necessarily like,
we might need to at some point do breakdown on something like this, like actually see if we can get one of the people who was involved. Cause it's been like, this is in 2014. Yeah, October, 2014. It seems like, is that right?
Yeah.
So like at this point, hopefully any wounds have healed and we could do,
he might have had to like sell his computer to like, pay Marauder. Like, so he might not be with it.
Yo, I wouldn't be surprised. Cause here's the deal. Like, Oneonta's not far, but it's far. It's like from, let's say, New York City or Philly. I mean, Pat, you lived in Albany. How many shows have you gone to in Oneonta?
Two.
And Oneonta is what? Hour and 20?
If yeah, that? maybe an hour and 20. That sounds about right.
Yeah, like... And it's all by itself. So you got the college. It sort of makes sense. And then you're like, well, what about places like Wilkes-Barre that had, you know, obviously had Posse Numbers Fest and this, that? It's like, yo, what y'all don't know, what people don't talk about is that they had like a thriving local scene for years, several venues around, and had built that thing up for like Wilkes-Barre Fest started before 2000. You know, like I think the first Posse Numbers maybe was 99, if not 2000. But like, they had been building that thing up for several years before it hit big and then it rolled. So it's always rough when you see that happen, and it's, you know, yeah, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. This is the thing, is when kids are playing with the college budget, you know, whatever. Right. But although it is a waste of everybody's time, even if you're getting paid well, it sucks to drive 7 hours and then play in front of 11 people. That's always going to suck. But it is worth noting that it's really hard to make a scene exist for a night. You right, know what right. I mean? So like, if your college has no scene like that, and but you're given all your radio station's money to throw a rager, I know it's tempting, but you got to consider, like, am I really going to make Marauder drive like the 4 hours, get lost, you know what I mean, make it six.
Think they can go to Cooperstown first, then they're trying to
find someone who has weed. It's a whole fucking thing.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that Oneonta,
there's
be
a lot of, a lot yeah, of ways. Here's my question, though.
So it obviously wasn't just an Oneonta, you know, SUNY Oneonta funded thing. Because number one, it wasn't on the campus. It was on Oneonta. It was at Oneonta Theater and Gallagher's Pub. And if Brian's boys were like still getting okay. like 5 years later, getting like right. dribs and drabs of what they were supposed to have gotten, I feel like someone's working like a second job to pay these bands off.
Shout out to
that
them.
Sucks.
Yeah, it could be. Honestly, could be. Yeah. So if the Oneonta, if you, or can we get some Robert Stack in here? If you or someone you know knows the organizers of the Oneonta Punk Fest, let them know. We want to talk to them. Hit us at the email, Axegrind Podcast, and we'll help you get a new computer. Okay.
No names, right? But everybody here could think of a few festival organizers who ran off with the money. And
take the money and run.
Here's a question. Now, Tom, I know that on occasion you will hold on to one of these.
Like grudges?
Right? and you will you'll be a little grudgy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bob, what about you? How many years do you give someone that fucked you on, let's say not a lot of money, let's say 300 and a drive, but it's a drive.
Oh, no, there was a time in my life where it was, you're dead to me. But for the most part in my wizened age, those kind of grudges are dead and gone. But there was a time where it was like, yo,
yeah, I'm bad, kind of,
you're dead to me. Like, don't yeah, look, that's don't different. Look me
like
in the
way
eye,
you phrased probably. It, that you made me sound like you're like, yo, if you didn't, like, you know, if you came up short $50 on the guarantee, don't ever fucking look me in the face again. I'm gonna fucking kill, like, you.
Oh no, that's how I feel. If you fuck around with any of my money,
we were talking about this dead. On one episode. Like, more often than not, we never got what we were supposed to get, and like, we're like, all right, cool, like, whatever, like, we'll on to the next. Like, if people are like scummy or for whatever reason, you know, or like ran off with the thing or like tried to like dig us over, like, I'll never forget that. I may work with you again, but yeah. I'm keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, there's a never forget. There's a never forget clause, and it's like you can let go of some of the madness. I'll say this somebody who's organized shows and big festivals. If you told someone you were going to pay him something, you know, go to the ATM. You didn't make enough money. Get that money. It's okay. I've had to do it. Had to do it for shows that you wouldn't assume. Had to do it. One time a band played Sound and Fury. There was a lot of like – it was one of those things where it was like, hey, it's like two members from this band and one member from this band. You're going to fly out the one guy and all this shit. And through a friend of a friend, I found out that one of the fellas was like sour. And I'm like, yo, what? So I called him like 4 months later. And he's like, well, you know, I thought you said this. I was like, oh, did you not get that? And he's like, no. And I'm like, yo, I thought we were good. I'm sorry. There must have been some confusion. Hold on. As we're on the phone, I sent him the money. I'm like, yo, man, I'm so sorry that happened. You know, like, you got to let me know, you know? So sometimes it's good to communicate. And also, if somebody's fucking with your money, it's especially when you're younger, especially when you're in a band doing it hard, it can be really rough. So try not to fuck around with people's money. That sucks. Pat, I don't think that was the direction you were hoping it would go.
No, I mean, I have all other grudges and all other slights. I keep a running tally in my head. So, like, I remember all of it.
See, I, when it comes to money, if it's longer than 6 months ago and you rip me off, I think it's funny. You know what I mean? Like, if it's within the 6 month window, I'm probably feeling it and I'm agitated a little bit.
Sure, sure.
But after that, it's whatever.
Yeah, when it comes to that stuff, I'm not too harsh. There's certain things. There's way worse crimes to me. Way worse.
For sure.
Way worse. All right. I think it's my
mine. That was mine. Right?
Oh, that was yours. No, Patrick, you're up.
Already? Damn, we talked about Oni Antipunk for fucking 25 minutes.
I'm asking all the negative questions today, and tell me if this is too close to anything else that we already asked.
You were here, right?
Brian.
Remind me if this sounds like anything you guys asked, because I was reading about Lou Giordano and his tight bod.
I was on Google Images right now. Sorry,
Tom. It is. Listen, it's a challenge to have a brain that is as curious as mine. You know, I'm always going in some direction. This is an easy one, but tell me if it's too much overlap. You have to Thanos snap a band out of existence before they could make a mark on current hardcore.
No, that's a good one. Let's combine that with the one I was having, which you're Thanos snapping a band out of existence, but they have no whatever influence they would have had or did have is also gone. So you got to factor that in.
Right. This is before they could have touched the bands at all. This is like you're killing Hitler's mom.
Yeah, their existence doesn't happen at all.
Can we not equate a band with Hitler? Like, this is no reflection on the band.
Look, if bands weren't being Nazis about this.
All right. So you're letting Hitler live.
Come on, I didn't say that either.
But
I'm just saying, like.
So, okay, you're not killing Hitler. You're not killing anybody. You're actually, here's what you're doing. You're tapping these young people on the shoulder, and you're saying, invest in Bitcoin. Give up on hardcore.
Yeah, you just Ricky Schrader'd them. They're Silver Spoon from here out. They don't need to write the fucking Age of Quarrel.
Right. Now, this don't do your thing. I see your brain moving right now. And don't do any personal grievances. That's not what
it is. Whatever you want it to be, Banos. Don't listen to him. You're the one in power.
Yes, correct.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Tom's right. You've got the mitten and I don't. Here you go.
I had an answer pretty quick, and I'm going to stick to it, even though I like some of the bands that came from it.
Let's hear it.
Quite a bit, actually. But yeah, that would be Youth of Today. Pretty quick. Yeah, Youth of Today.
Okay, so from Youth of Today.
Hold on, Bob. I just want to say this is why we ask the hard questions. Who expected that answer?
That was a choice. You know what? No, when I heard him thinking about it and start explaining and given the little teaser of giving up on Youth Crew, I had an inkling. All right, so with that.
Yes.
Let's say there's no shelter, okay? We're going to say there's no shelter.
Yeah, that's one that's going to be tough. And okay. That one would be tough to give up, but I would do it for the greater good.
There's no Youth Crew.
Yeah, like React Records, which was a pretty big thing for me when I was getting into hardcore, would not.
Right, so that's like third or fourth wave as they count it, right? So,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's gone. Revelation Records, Revelation Records doesn't exist. Yeah.
No Boom. Judge, no mouthpiece, no GB, nothing.
No second wave, no floor punch, no in my eye, none of that stuff either. Let's see.
No mindset.
What else doesn't happen? Because
Hold on. We're saying definitely no GB.
Because I mean, I feel like Youth of Today was like that's where all those dudes came from.
So there's there's a chance. Let me go here. There's a chance. There's a GB-ish band. Yeah.
I would think.
Is token entry or poppy like that, but I'm not sure that exists. Direct
7 seconds.
And I think we might. Right. So 7 seconds exists. There might be some more melodic offshoots, but I think, and Uniform Choice exists. So that's good. So there's still a few things like that. We might not have Quicksand. We might not have Into Another.
I could definitely live without Into Another.
Oh man. So Underdog would exist. The late 80s New York hardcore scene would be kind of interesting because you sort of wonder like, all right, there's still like I think Breakdown still exists.
Unless a lot of those bands were.
Underdog still exists,
you know?
Murphy's Law. Yeah, right. No, that's
no
right.
Schism,
I don't think Judge
no
exists.
No Wide Awake.
No Side by Sides. No. There's a lot of stuff that just is gone. That's an interesting one.
I think I could live without most of that.
I think that Straight Edge is a lot less prolific.
It's less confrontational too, I bet.
I don't necessarily know about the Earth Crisis. I feel like Boston was way more confrontational about Straight Edge.
So Boston was, but they barely sloganized it like they did.
Yeah.
So Slapshot would still exist. Uniform Choice still exists. But think about the Boston bands that come in the wake of Slapshot. There's almost nothing. Like Wrecking Crew. Like there's not a lot in the late 80s Boston scene that gets hold. I think the bands like Instead, No For An Answer, Hard Stance, Inside Out... I don't think those bands exist either. I think that whole thing, there might be some version of that, but like, I think if there's no Revelation Records, if there's no connection between Orange County and like the Youth Crew of New York, Connecticut, etc., I don't think Vic Dekar is making out to California.
No, probably not. And that was the thing that I was, that's kind of really what I was
this is
thinking
a
about when
slippery.
I was,
Brian, you ruined
when
hardcore
I was thinking
for me.
That.
I know.
You're welcome.
There's it is a really interesting twist of what happens. I'm trying to think of what exists. Like, I still think some of the super fast bands happen. But so much of the New York and East Coast stuff that happens, like the ABC scene happens partially as a response to the youth group, but more so a response to the CBs, like the raw tougher deals and bands, breakdowns and the tougher stuff. So New York might have gotten tougher earlier because I think the New York, I think the Rev wave brought in a lot of the suburban kids and added one, a bunch of people, but two, like mellowed out the vibe.
Does Infest exist?
Some of those things. That's what I was trying to think. Tough. Maybe.
A lot of similar vibes.
There's a lot of stuff. Well, because they claim to be more like pulling from the Boston stuff, and I don't disagree. I think they were, but I think people low rate how much Youth of Today and the Youth Crew stuff helped proliferate that shit. Like, yo, like that's why I heard SSD for the first time. Man, that's a doozy.
I think Pat asked a question and literally left.
Yeah, did he just
now? He's over here doing his resistance band workouts.
So busy for the other fucking 21 hours of his day.
I'm just a multitasker. I'm just fucking. I need to fucking stay stimulated.
You're on a fucking call with four of your friends. The three of your friends. Be stimulated, you fucking weirdo.
It's just a body thing.
Patrick, you claimed you had stuff to do the other night, but then I think I heard you on Eric's Instagram story yelling about Chun-Li. True or false?
Yeah, that might be true. That's one of the things I had to do.
All right, I'm with it. Brian, I've got a question for you.
All right.
You can have one band who is currently broken up reunite and write an awesome reunion record. Who are you picking? So this is a guarantee. They're not going to write a reunion record that you're like, eh. They're not going to write a reunion record that you're like, fuck, I wish this didn't exist. They're going to write a reunion record that's awesome.
That's a tough one, I think.
Go with your gut.
I mean, most of the bands I like are broken up.
I'll give a caveat because I think about it for myself. I have added the thing in where it's going to be awesome, but there's certain bands where I'm like, yo, I have enough. I'm good. You know, like, yo, for example, Youth of Today, I don't really need, like, I, even if they wrote a record that was fucking great, I really don't
need cool to have,
Youth of Today record,
but you don't
from those people. Could be cool. Like if they unearthed some recording from 1990 that was like, oh, here, yeah, we recorded Disengage. We recorded these other five songs. We forgot. Cool. But like, you know, like time and place for certain things. Whereas on the other side, Lifetime, them doing that record in 2009, 6, 7, whenever that was, I was like, yo, this is cool. I wasn't like weird about it being 7 years, 8 years, or 9 years later. There's certain circumstances that hold back on that. So I factor that in as well. But give me what you would say, your reunion band to write an awesome record.
Probably Lungfish, actually. I could do with another Lungfish record.
What does that record sound like? If Lungfish, and this is for you and Patrick, I think. Tom, if you have any thoughts, please. Yes. But I think these are the two Lungfish heads here. What does a Lungfish record sound like in 2021?
I mean, so they get pretty spacey and out there, but when they can... There are certain songs where I feel like they're really aggressive, but also pretty melodic,
right?
In a way that's different from like melodic hardcore.
Oh, for sure.
But I think that those songs are so perfect, and there is no other band that comes close to those. And I want more of that. I don't know how Patrick feels, but
PK. What does the 2021 Lungfish record sound like?
So they actually had a couple very heavy records towards the very end of their time.
Right, you've spoken about those for sure. Yeah.
And I don't know if they would want to do it again. So I think you'd probably get something. This is for the really nerds out here. You'd probably get something like Indivisible, which is not a heavy record. It's more pulled back. I think that they'd probably want to do that after doing two heavy records in a row.
True. All right, Tom, you're up.
Or maybe they just keep pushing. It sound like fucking Hatebreed. I don't know.
Why not? Yo, last round, Tom, you're up.
This is the least good one I have, so I apologize in advance. If you could use the Infinity Gauntlet to travel to any individual show, where would you go? Like one that you see a flyer for, or like a YouTube clip.
Yeah, I got to look at the actual lineup for it, but I know exactly the show.
Ooh, good. Tom, that was a good one. That was on my list too.
Hold on one second while I...
While he's doing this, I'll vamp. Tom, did you ever have the time travel question in school at any point? Like, oh, you can go to one time in history. I did. Do you know what my answer was?
1986 finals.
1987. It was the AFC championship game, the draw.
Yeah. All right.
And I would write. I think I had that more than once, and it was always really funny. And it was such a good bit that I stuck with it. Similar to when I would write, when it was like, oh, you have a book report. You can choose any book you want. And I always chose Tony Dorsett autobiography as my book, because it was inappropriate for a third grader to be reading, because it was just Tony Dorsett recounting tales of like doing cocaine and having sex with women in jacuzzis with the like 79 Cowboys. It was great.
And why Tony Dorsett? Why not like who was like the big Broncos running back?
There's your answer. The book. That's right. Bobby Humphrey, Sammy Winder. He played Tony Dorsett, finished his career as a Bronco. So on the cover, he's a Bronco. And I bought it cheap at like, I don't know, fucking Marshall's or some shit in Latham.
Meanwhile, it was like a stroke book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was cool. It was great. Love it.
Every time you see a hot tub, you get a little weird in your pants.
I'm just like, yo, Tony Dorsett had a good time once.
All right, I got my show. So it's Minor Threat, Iron Cross, Faith, Artificial Peace, 00, and Void. At the Wilson Center in DC.
Yeah,
April 30th. Not sure of the year, but
yeah, I was gonna say 81, 82, 83.
Maybe that's a good show.
Goddamn, perfect.
Good show. All right, Patrick, your last question. If you're done stretching.
Pilates Pat, get on the mic.
Let's see.
Oh, Peloton Pat.
Peloton Pat, not bad. Pilates Pat, not bad. Pole Pat.
You sound like a dictator.
Pat. Pole Pat.
Let's see. I don't want to ask purely retrospective questions, you know? Like I'd like to put you in the future somehow.
All right. Well, why don't you think about that? I'll ask mine. What three band shirts do you want to outlaw from all future hardcore shows?
Great question.
Good question.
Any bold shirt?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Two more. You haven't been to a show for a while. I understand.
Yeah, it's been a long while. I don't know. I don't care much about what shirts people are wearing.
Let me swing it around the room. Patrick, ban a shirt from all future shows. Just one.
Just one. Okay. I mean, bold would probably make my list too, but I don't see them very often. So, and even though I think a lot of people that are wearing Cro-Mag shirts are like kind of posing on it. Cro-Mag shirts are some of the best shirts ever. So I like looking at them still.
Sure.
What's the thing that just, help me out with the last couple of years. Slipknot. No, let's see what are things people have mostly fake been into? Power Violence had its moment. That stuff can all fucking go. But if I could,
like everyone loved like Catherine Wheel.
I like, if I could, as much as I like both the band and I like the diversity of thought within hardcore, including the cognitive dissonance that would lead someone of this type to wear this shirt.
Oh boy.
I would perhaps start maybe banning people who.
You're not banning the people. You're banning the shirt. You tell them they can't wear the shirt. It's all good. Come on.
Okay. If you have a problem with what Madball's actually about, you're banned from wearing a Madball shirt.
Well said. All right. Tom, what shirt are you banning?
Yeah, he said Madball. Any of the quirky straight edge shirts.
Oh, yo, what about any...
Like the kill your local drug dealer, like, you know what? Like I'm down with that idea because, you know, like drugs are so bad and affect so many people. You're not doing that.
Unless it's a Lech Patrol shirt that says kill anyone with drugs, I'm not interested. Any of the straight edge gimmick brand shirts or straight True Till Death merch shirts, get away. American straight edge, get away.
Any of those like pop culture hardcore crossover shirts, you said that.
Did that die to the Taylor Swift Earth Crisis shirt? Because I think that was like the as good as it got for that sort of stuff. And then now it's just like we don't need another.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how
we didn't even need that?
Do you know how many of those shirts got made?
Hundreds, if not thousands.
Around 1800. I can probably find the exact print run if you'd like. Patrick, he did pretty good. Patrick, you're closing us out.
Okay. The year is 2022. There's children being born. And as Banos, you can assign everybody a single LP to be given to them at their 12th birthday.
To be mailed out with Calgon, yeah.
It's like a what do you call that thing it's like a bearer bond?
Yeah,
you know,
Frampton Comes Alive. Yeah,
yeah, it's Frampton Comes Alive. They just hand it to you when you turn 12, and you gotta really enjoy it. What record do you assign to children born in 2022 to listen to be given on their 12th birthday, so that you think that they can be influenced like in a positive way?
I've been talking about Minor Threat a lot, but I would 100% say Out of Step. That was the record that I heard when I was about that old, and it still gives me goosebumps. So I'm going to say Out of Step by Minor Threat.
Can't really beat that.
I like DC Hardcore. I like Discord. But yeah, that record is very, very, very good.
Can I ask you a closing bonus question?
Yes.
God, sure. All right. Yes.
Patrick wins the lottery, Mega Millions, and wins $1 billion. Tells the drug church guys, "Hey guys, I'm out. Drug Church needs a new singer. You're it." Is the band better, worse, and or more fun or less fun?
Oh, that's a good question. So Patrick is a person that no one else is like. That's possibly a good thing and possibly a bad thing. I would never steal a shopping cart from a homeless person. I'm currently looking at the shopping cart that Patrick stole from a homeless person.
I believe in property rights over here.
I just want to correct Brian. They're unhoused people.
Yes. I'm sorry. Please cancel me if you want. I don't care. So I think to a degree it's less fun. The lyrics would probably be significantly worse.
Okay.
I do think he's actually a pretty good, he's pretty good at lyrics.
For sure, for sure. Would you have more fun on stage than he does? He has a lot of fun with Drug Church, man.
He does. I think I'd bring it back to when he was rolling around on the floor, which he likes to claim that he's never done.
I literally have pictures.
Yeah, there's photographic evidence of it.
I think we made a poster with one, Patrick.
You did, yes. The Revelation poster where he's on his knees, bent over, reaching out for a microphone, I believe is the...
He might have the microphone in hand. He's laying on the floor.
I slipped.
You were going the whole Merrill. You were going Merrill.
Good lyric reference, bro.
Merrill. Yeah.
But I don't know. It could be fun still.
Would the van rides be more or less fun without Patrick?
Probably less fun. At least when I was first touring with them, he kind of was talking more. He addresses the van more than anybody else, really. Everybody else kind of just lives in their own world until the show. I did almost fight him.
Whoa!
In a van one time.
Wait, hold on. Patrick, do you remember this event?
This motherfucker's not fighting anybody.
Do you remember what he thinks this happened?
I remember on one occasion we disagreed about decorum, and he got very touchy. If we get into it, you two are going to take his side.
No, so please, let's get into it.
All right, we'll get. Yeah,
I would love to hear your take on decorum.
Brian, we need to hear the real story now.
No.
Let Patrick give the story.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, it might be a little too sensitive.
It's too much for this particular podcast. Okay. When this stops recording, maybe I can.
Okay, maybe we'll save that for the Patreon. That's a good Patreon tease.
Like this is going to get canceled. Pat was going to get canceled and then beaten up by Brian.
Yo, there's a few Pat tour van stories that guests have shared partially on air, but said, yo, I got to tell the rest of this off air, that would really send Patrick to...
I mean, it's understood that Brian would beat the shit out of Pat, right?
Is that an understood? I'm sizing him up right now. I could toss him through his window. And also, I'm not getting canceled for shit. This dude just went in a weird place and then said, oh, that was weird. And I go, well, you went to a weird place, my dude. And then that's what we fought about.
Yo, what was the biggest?
It's not that simple.
It never is.
It's not that simple at all. But I can think of a few, like, just straight up disrespectful things that he's done in a van that I personally would never do. I'm not shoving my feet in someone's face and making them rub tea tree oil on it. And I would never like clip my toenails onto somebody's pillow. So I think the van rides would be more respectful. And
Patrick, I always found probably
would happen overnight more. There would be more overnight drives.
I always found you to be a very respectful van mate. I never.
Can I bring up a Brian item? Speaking of, like, I'm hearing like Brian talk about like fucking nasty ass toenails and stuff. A band friend of ours, maybe of Bob and I, one of their earlier iterations, they were on tour. And in order to torture the drummer when he was like, when he wasn't near his stuff, they literally ripped out the last like five pages of every book he brought with him.
Wow.
And they also hid his diabetes medication, which is a whole nother story, which is not cool.
now we're talking about decorum. I can get with. I like where you're going.
Where do you guys stand?
Ripping out the I had that done to me, sort of. On tour, you know, like it was like pre, you know, I had like tapes and I'd make myself like mixtapes to bring on tour and stuff to listen to. Sure. And like one day I got back in the van and I realized that they found my mixtape and the song Hypnotized by Biggie Smalls. When it cuts to the chorus, it was literally Rachel singing it. She taped over it with her voice. Like, and I was like on the fucking precipice of a terrible, like, I was either going to kill them or myself. And that was like, this is it. I'm in fucking, it's nowhere in Bavaria somewhere. And I got this fucking asshole singing Biggie, Biggie, Biggie. Can't you see? Like, with no musical accompaniment for like 4 minutes. I wanted to fucking drive off a cliff.
Yo, you know what's, I feel the rage of that. And I bet in the like looking back though,
it's amazing.
But it's very good. But in the moment, I know I would have felt the rage. I think, yo, so where do you guys stand on tour with end of year? I threw out someone's socks because they were so gross. They smelled bad.
Was it Patrick's?
Kosher? No, it was Sean Duty, friend of the pod. Kosher move. Uncool. I think I offered to buy new ones. It was
cool. If you're offering to replace them, then I think that's fine.
Property rights, Patrick.
Your right to swing your fist ends where my nose begins. Keep your hands off my property.
Fuck that, because that affects everybody.
Though, it's fucked up.
Yeah. No, this fool like makes a garbage nest in his little corner right behind the driver's seat. First day of the tour.
And I offer to fight anybody that touches it. I say under no circumstance are you to fucking touch this.
So and what are you doing? Are you waiting for a recycling bin? What the fuck's going on?
What's that?
Are you waiting for a recycling bin? What's going on?
No, he's not.
Yes, I am. That's bullshit. I am. That's exactly what's right. Am I unwell? Do I just keep bottles around because I like them? I'm obviously waiting for recycling.
Bob, if we ever take this fucking podcast on the road, I'm going to have to, like, we're going to go like Blink 182 and everyone gets their own bus. I can't share space with this guy, man.
2022, maybe. Yo, you know what? Everybody's feeling rosy. Let's feel fucking rosy. End of 2021, maybe we'll do the live Axe.
Where are we going? We go in LA? We go in Brooklyn? We're doing both?
We've got offers. Oniana. Oniana is number one. We got offers from Dallas.
Oh, I would love that.
There. We got some ideas. So shout out to everybody. Get fucking vaccinated.
NYHQ.
Let's restore. This was not the Saving Brian Part 2 for anybody who's following along. We're going to have to do that again because maybe.
Yo, did you see, by the way, speaking of Texas and all our friends and family in Texas, that there's from 1 week to the next, there was a difference and an 80 degree Fahrenheit difference from 1 week to the next.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's 81 degrees there now.
It's really fucked. Yo, take a look at some of the weather patterns across Central Asia right now. It's similar insane things like negative 20 degrees Celsius to 40 degrees Celsius type shit. It's really crazy. All right. Songs about the weather, Lungfish 2021. Bye.